Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Jerry. Let's get it started.
Wow. Is that the best you got?
That was, I thought okay. It was pretty good. Was it not?
It was great. So this coincides with our vinyl records full-length episode, and we just want to be clear. Record scratching could be a full-length episode easily.
Turns out.
We're going to concentrate mainly on sort of the early history because we've also learned that trying to describe musical things and audio things is a little awkward.
A little. I think it might be the most difficult thing we've ever tried to describe for real.
You know, it kind of sounds like this. It's going to be light on that. But let's talk about record scratching, which although apparently in the 1940s and 50s, people were creating music from turntables and composing and sampling. But if you really want to talk about turntablism, a term coined in the 90s, you really got to start in the 1970s in New York City.
Yeah, there was a guy in 1975. His name was Theodore Livingston. He was a teenager in the Bronx, and he went by DJ Grand Wizard Theodore, an unfortunate name. But in 1975, Theodore was playing records apparently too loud on his home stereo, and his mom came in and said, "You better turn that down." I guess his mom bust in and said, "What's that noise?" Right. And when he went to go turn the volume down, I guess rather quickly, accidentally scratched the record. And instead of being like, "Man, I screwed up my record," Theodore had the presence of mind to be like, "That sounded pretty cool. Let me see if I can do that again."
Yeah, I can like totally see the movie version. Apparently she was downstairs yelling at him and he went to stop it so she could hear what she was saying.
Right.
And then he goes over and it goes, and all of a sudden, like, the lights in the room get brighter. And
right.
He's discovered a new musical genre.
Close in on Brian May looking totally astounded and amazed in awe.
Oh, goodness. I still like that movie. It was very corny, though. You're correct.
Yeah.
So he technically invented the scratch and started doing it at parties and house parties and clubs and stuff. But if you were to ask a hip-hop enthusiast sort of who the forefathers of turntablism are, they would point to three people for sure, maybe more. Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, and Afrika Bambaataa, all of which we talked about in our hip-hop episode.
Yeah, so from what I can discern, Chuck, there's basically two categories of turntablism. One is scratching, that was invented by Grand Wizard Theodore, and then the other is called cutting. And that was, most people say, invented by DJ Kool Herc. Again, I think in the 70s, the very, very late 70s. And scratching is exactly what you think it is. It's moving the record back and forth, against the needle, making it scratch. Cutting is where you have two records, and you're using the crossfader that turns one on and the other off, or turns that one on and the other off, but depending on which way you slide it. That is cutting. And everything else is either a subcategory or a combination of those two. And when you put it all together, that's where you get turntablism, which is this incredibly sophisticated, incredibly talented combination of scratching and cutting.
Now, doesn't cutting mean the same record, though?
No, cutting is you're cutting back and forth between two records.
But not the same two records.
Oh, sorry. So two identical records, like two of the same record, one on each turntable, you mean?
Yes.
Not necessarily. Cutting is the larger category of that. I think that is breakbeat, usually when it's two different ones.
Yeah, breakbeat, which seems to have evolved into the beat juggling, seems like just a sort of more complex version of breakbeat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and breakbeat is a type of cutting from what I understand.
All right, so Kool Herc apparently came up with a breakbeat technique. That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. I would be a terrible hip hop artist because I can't even say breakbeat technique.
How's your breakbeat technique?
But that's when you have the two copies of the same record put on two different decks, and basically you mix between them to extend whatever indefinitely, like the climax usually, or the break, you can just extend that forever because you're going back and forth. And like, I know how all this stuff works, but I watched a lot of videos on YouTube. There's one called Scratch School, where Scratch
is amazing.
Scratch Bastard,
yeah,
kind of shows you how to do this stuff. And when you, if you don't know a lot about it, but you've long admired the sound of it, and you look at it, it's really kind of cool to see how it works. It's really a lot, way more complicated than I thought. I didn't know that they actually physically marked the record, in like a clock position to know where the beats were. I always wondered how they got the needle back to the point in the song when they needed that beat, and they just move it. So they're scratching the records, they're moving the fader, they're literally moving the needle to get it in the right position back and forth. And there's a lot more going on than I thought. I knew it wasn't easy, but I was just kind of blown away.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you play a part of a record that's, say, like a drum roll, and you want to play that again, if you spin the record backward, which I believe is walking it, right? Or pausing it. I can't remember which one it is.
Backward would be moonwalking, right?
Okay. So if you moonwalk the record, it's going to make its own sound. But if all you want is that beat over and over again, what you're doing is, through creating breakbeats, is just going from that drum roll on the one record. And when that's done, you move the crossfader to turn the other record on so that the drum roll starts then. And then while you're playing that, you pull the other record that you just played back to the spot again. And by doing that, you can keep that drum roll going, just moving back and forth seamlessly, ad infinitum, basically. You could just keep it going forever.
Keep it going forever. So that's what we would do if we didn't have to take an ad break. But we're going to do that. We'll be back to finish up right after this.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
You've been looking for me, yeah?
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
These are the tales that shaped the nation.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
Then I told them they were drinking cyanide.
Featuring the voices of Wes Studi.
At least 4,000 people died on the trail.
Martin Starr.
President Nixon called me the most dangerous man in America.
Scott Hayes.
Next thing I know, I'm standing over the bodies of Baker Morton. My pistol smoking in my hand.
And Tristan Mack Wilds.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Starring Dan Fogler as the ferryman.
This is The Passage.
Listen to The Passage now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I just want a second, Chuck, before we start again. I'm with you. That Scratch School with Scratch Bastard was so easy to watch. That guy's like a total natural at explaining things. And he's also astoundingly talented, too.
Yeah, and talented, and would like, he was having fun and he was messing up. And his whole point in all the videos I watched was like, this is what it's about. Like, I screwed up there. I lost the beat. You got to play around with it. You got to get funky and just sort of like roll with mistakes and try mistakes into happy accidents. And I, for a change, sort of looked through some of the YouTube comments, and it was really supportive and cool. Like, people are like, man, I'm trying to learn, and you make this so much more accessible. And seeing someone kind of screw up and then get it back is like, and not edit that part out is like really valuable. So
yeah, without being like, damn it, let me start again. Wait, or else being like, wait, hold on, I got it. Hold on, wait a second.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And I also want to recommend, there were some more fun videos from DJ Babu, B-A-B-U, that were pretty awesome as well at explaining things. Maybe let's talk about a couple of more quick little moves, and then we'll go back and finish up with some history.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, dude.
So I would highly recommend you go and watch these videos if you're interested in knowing what something like a transformer scratch is.
It's so perfectly named, though.
I know. It's named because it sounds sort of like a transformer, transforming. Mm-hmm. Cash Money, Jazzy Jeff, lots of DJs sort of helped pioneer this technique. And once you see it and hear it, you're like, oh, I just, you know, if you don't know much about it, you're like, I didn't know it was called the transformer scratch, but I've heard it a million times.
Yeah. And by the way, yes, that Jazzy Jeff, DJ Jazzy Jeff, as in he's the DJ, I'm the rapper, DJ Jazzy Jeff, who apparently invented that. And then there's another one that's called the crab that Scratch Bastard does. And the reason it's called that is because you're flicking the crossfader back and forth using your thumb and then one finger, thumb, and the next finger, thumb, your other finger, and then sometimes your thumb and your fourth finger. And as you do it really fast, one finger after another, it kind of, you know, is reminiscent of a crab's legs walking.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like you use your thumb as to kind of put pressure against the fader. And basically what you're doing is you're turning the fader on and off really quickly. Mm-hmm. But you know that thing if you're bored, you do on, like, I'm going to do it with my fingers on like a piece of wood, but that...
Yes. Well,
did that come through at all?
Yes, it did.
That's what you're doing with a fader. So whenever you hear a scratch go like, that's what they're doing. And it's a technique called the crab. It's so cool.
The thing is, though, is when you watch DJs doing these things and explaining it, it becomes so much more, I guess, admirable because the different coordination of your hands doing two different things at different times, perfectly synced up, is so hard for someone like me that just to see somebody who can just do it like it's nothing is really, it's really, I my hat is off to those people.
Yeah, it's super impressive. Jumping back to history, things are happening in the Bronx, obviously, in the late 70s. Again, if you listen to our hip-hop episode, we talk all about it. And then the big, big breakout as far as the mainstream America music-loving public goes was in 1984 when Herbie Hancock's Rocket came out. Landmark video, landmark performance at the 26th Grammy Awards, which really pushes it into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Because that was the first scratch solo, and it was amazing. It was performed by another Bronx DJ, and it said in this one article, Grand Master, but it was Grand Mixer. Mm-hmm. DST, who then changed it to DXT.
Yeah. And I think, so this was like the first song that ever had scratching as like, not only like a rhythm, but there's like scratching solos in the middle of the song. And like at this point, like people just, especially just the general people, and I'm sure every single person at the Grammys did not think of turntables as anything particularly interesting. Like at that, up to that point, a DJ was what a lot of DJs are still today. You've got one record playing and you let it play most of the way and then you mix in another record and then you take the first record off and put another one and mix that in, which is, it's really hard to do. You have to have a really good ear. That's not scratching. That's not cutting. That's not turntablism. That's DJing. And that's what people thought of turntables as. That was it. That's what they were for. But with Rocket, it was like, nope, this is a completely different era now, starting in 1984.
Yeah, and I remember, man, I remember being 12 and 13 years old and seeing Rocket, the video, for the first time. Mm-hmm. And this was, Herbie Hancock was a sort of star-fading jazz musician at this time. This really revived his career. But I remember the video was so weird and so, and looking at it now, it's very kind of disturbing and odd looking. But I remember seeing it and just thinking, what in the world am I seeing and hearing right now? And it's not like I immediately started, I didn't get into hip hop till probably 4 or 5 years after that. Mm-hmm. But, it blew my mind. I had never heard anything like it before. It was super cool to be of that generation to have seen like a new genre being born before your very eyes.
Yeah. Apparently that one performance is credited for basically getting a lot of kids into scratching and then eventually turntablism starting in the 90s, which is pretty cool. And also, as a little side note, that was the same Grammys where Michael Jackson carried Emmanuel Lewis around like a baby. You actually, if you watch the performance of Rocket, I think at the end, after when everybody's clapping, they cut to them sitting together in the front row.
Oh, goodness.
It's a, that's it a was great a place weird to end. Grammys, dude. You got anything else? That means, of course, everybody's short stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.